I want to start by saying this text is very important through Christian history. Even though it's a very difficult text, and these few verses, very difficult, in a sense that they are very central to our faith. And that is why I came up with these hymn books, because our Apostle Creeds includes these verses. If they were not very important, they wouldn't be really the most important words in the confessions of the apostles who have turned the world upside down for Christ. And it reads like this. The Apostle Creed says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heavens and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heavens and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So he says, Jesus, who is seated in the right hand of the Father, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And the reference in verse 4, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. That is verse 5, that the reference is to Jesus, who will judge the dead and the living. Well, what I want to do today is to take you through three headings, just briefly, just so that we don't miss this text. We may not have time to come back to this text in the nearest future, but it is very important that we take this text seriously and we learn from these texts as Christians. It is for our blessings, edification, and strengthening, and also defines who we are as God's people and what we believe. So this is, to remind you, is the reading again, verse 3, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagan shows to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it is strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heaped abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. Last week we have heard that we are to live for the will of God. We are to live for the will of God. That is verse 2, because Jesus Christ died and suffered in his body. As a result, he does not live, those who have suffered in their body do not live in the rest of their earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. We live for the will of God. So we are called to live for the will of God. We are called to live for Christ. Well, if you can recall David Cook, who came many years ago, young adults, you can remind us, he came and he preached, and he said, there should not be what without the why, isn't it? So there should not be what without the why. And the what was like, we are told to live for the will of God, isn't it? We as Christians, we are called to live for the will of God. We are to live for Christ fully, 100%, not just a few or here and there. And now we are given why we are to do that, why we are to live that. That is what really this text is all about today, why we are to live for Christ, why we are to hold fast to the faith that we have. Number one, and there are three, because the time we spent away from God was enough. The time we spent when we were not believers was enough for us to have done all that the Gentiles, the people who were not God's people, were encouraging us to do. Isn't it? So we were part of those who were standing against God prior to our conversion, prior to our salvation, prior to our faith in the Lord, deliverance. So it's saying, because this time was enough. And just you need to remember, who had the time? Who hold the times? Who is in control of the time? God is God of the time, isn't it? It's God's. is God. He was sovereign. He was watching. Even when you were like far away from him, he was still in charge of your times, of your life. He was controlling all the events that were going to lead you into faith, into salvation. You know, so many of us have come to salvation because someone has prayed for us. Someone just threw something on our ways, like just a track or something, or invited us to that meeting or to sing along things. So God really works to bring us to that time where there will be a clear cut between for us, between what was for evil and what was for God, and to have the joy of Nebo, as we have just heard, and to come and to be a child of God, and to be born again, and to be called the redeemed. So that is what Apostle Peter is encouraging his readers to think of this. He said, like, look, because the you here is for the believers. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, the desires of those who were not God's people, that is Gentiles, as opposed to God's people. So he said the time was enough. And so the time was enough. God controls the time. And you know, when Jesus came, Jesus just didn't come just like that. There was an appointed time for that, we are told. Even the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, or starting from 3, saying, we were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem us, that he might redeem those who were living in sin. So God appointing the times. So that is why we should have this in our minds, that I was in God's minds. And I was appointed at such a time to live for God, to turn away from evil, and not even to have control of my life in such a way that I should just do anything I like, now to tattoo or to indulge myself in sin or to just embrace even philosophical ideas. It's so dangerous because all of us who have lived in the world, we have, you know, like if you go through the social media today, there are a lot of people telling you what you should do, isn't it? Just imagine yourself as a Christian. You go by what the psychologists are saying, by those who are the public speakers, the motivation people, telling us, if you want to have a perfect life, if you want to have a control over your life, don't do this or don't do this and do this. I just don't listen to these things because the time I spend in doing those things was enough for God. And God said it's enough. Now it's time that you are to value the grace that I have extended to you. It was out of his mercy that you have been saved, that you have been set apart, that you have been rescued, that you have been redeemed. This should be one of the biggest reasons that God is God of times. And he has, in his mercy, he waited that I should be saved. Just imagine if you were not saved and you were left and living in those days, how where will you be? If I ask myself, where will I be? Either dead or one of the blessings that I thank God for, that I didn't read communism or socialism. It's so such a dangerous philosophy that caused you to be really very, very against God, because those people are called revolutionists, isn't it? And if you look at what they stand for, seem to be like noble, isn't it? They are the heroes. You see? They say they champion the cause of the poor. The morality, come on, morality. Even they can put people to death just because you just don't want to do the right thing. So just imagine if you were a communist fighting wars in Central, in Latin America. You know that man, the great socialist ever lived, Che Guevara. He went and he fought at all fronts, even in Africa. See, very dangerous. If you are part of that movement, it's just so hard. And there are other movements also, even like who align themselves with even Christians. They are also bad. But the good movement is today to live for God. And to, for every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, to live by the word and then led by the Spirit. And so that is why. So here, one more, so that we don't spend a lot of time in this. Paul picks it up. These are apostles. Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, written for us this divine word of God that we carry. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm reading from verse 15, 14 to 15. For the love of God, or the love of Christ, controls us, having concluded that, or this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Here, that is why we are to live. We have been saved at that appointed time so that we live no longer for ourselves and we live for God and seeking his face and to live in his will, seeking to do only his will and to serve him and him alone and his own people and to join with those people and to have the joy of Nebo. How about that? And to call every woman who is a Christian a sister, and every man a brother. You see, no children in Christian ministries, in Christian, in the body of Christ. No children, all brothers and sisters. Well, I think I have given you enough, because the thing that they said, even they are listed there in verse 4, I won't go into that. You can read it yourself, because the Gentiles' way of life was so against God. They were pursuing cause of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, all sorts of evil things, drinking parties that are wild, and some people are left there on the floor dead, and then drugs and all sexual immoralities. So people just they throw themselves into these things. What do they say? To us. These people, they live such a life that was not really pleasing to God. When they say drunkenness, too much wine, and also to be drunk is a state of mind and heart where you have excessive assumption of alcohol. And then your mind can think against God and can think all sorts of things, and you can kill someone in a car accident. You can easily get to a fight, and so forth. So all these things were not considering God. They were not godly practices, and they are listed here for us to see. Even we, at some stage, we were part of that. You may not have experienced these things all. But I tell you, I had a conversation with some friends back when I was teaching, and then we were in a kitchen with my friends, and we were teaching, and the kids, the Christian school, and we were reflecting on our past lives. And I thought I was not very immoral. And I said, well, the only thing I did was smoking, and they all laughed at me. You see, they said, oh, you were immoral. And I said, oh, yeah. You see, so even those practices, I was damaging the temple of the Holy Spirit. I was just like ruining this life, my lungs and everything. So it was just against God, created to live for God in our body. Second thing. So what is the next things I want to share with us as why we should live for God and for Christ and love him and serve him? Because sinners will be judged. Sinners will be judged. Those who are not following the Lord, they will be judged. Look at what the Bible says here. Why they are to be judged. God is fair, isn't it? You cannot be mocked as someone who is living God, and God will overlook that, isn't it? Look carefully at what he says here. The last part of verse 4. They think it is strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. And they heap abuse on you. they heap abuse on you that you are not taking part in their things. Their thing is strange. You are weird. You see, there's something wrong about you. You see? As a young man who is not keeping a pure life, maybe they think you are a gay. It's happened. I'm not just making this up. These are the Christians. A lot of people are just, these are real things. These are real thinking. And maybe even they think of our sisters who are keeping themselves for the Lord. So they heap abuse. On you, they malign you. This is one of the other translations. Even to the point they have killed many, isn't it, during that time. So those who were pushed out of Jerusalem, they were killed. But here, they will be judged. They will be judged. Because they hate you because of the love of God. The love you have for God and your godly living. You are so different to them. Look, even they are surprised. How come you can be like that? Filled with the Holy Spirit and love, loving your enemies. Blessing when you are being cursed. You are free. Free. Because Jesus said, he who the Son sets free, he will be free indeed. Free to live for God. Free to love. Free to have self-control and not to pay evil for evil. And this is not out of weakness, just because of the great work of God in your lives. So we are the reason we are bringing this to us so that we encourage one another to press on living godly living. It's not in vain. The sinners will be judged. Definitely. And that is why we are encouraged not to join them in their loose life. Not to join them. No matter the temptation may come, university, as you work places, inviting you to their drinking parties, don't go. Say, no, I can't do that. Or just let us dress wildly. Or let us speak a language that is not really godly. No, I'm not part of that. You are like a child. Isn't the Bible say we will be like children to sin when it comes to sin? If there is a need, and please take it or not, you just make yourself as if you know nothing, isn't it? Just like that. You just don't try hard to even to argue or to make yourself sophisticated. You don't do that. Of course, it might be hard for you to do that, but for me it is easy because the assumption is like you have come from third world country, you're uneducated, things like that, and so forth. And so I can make myself uneducated and insignificant. And it doesn't bother me because I know who I follow, isn't it? But it is hard for you, but it's not hard for me. You see, I can't talk to police because they may think that maybe I don't know, I shouldn't be speaking to police, but I speak to them anyway and tell them of the hope that is in me, who I am, who I follow, who I believe. And they might be surprised of how much I know. When I travel and then you talk to the waitress, the flight attendant, where are you from? Czechoslovakia. Oh yeah, I read widely and I was following the political movement that was taking place during 80s. Václav Havel leading their country into democracy and so forth. Talk to them about them, all the process leading to the independence and then the separation of Czech and Slovak. Oh, you know a lot. Yes, I know a lot, but I know something even better than that. Okay, and then where are you from? Oh, Poland. Oh, Václav. Oh, Poland. Lech Wałęsa. Oh, yeah, again. It's not what I know. It's who I know. So the sinners, they will be judged. Be encouraged. Follow the Lord. The sinners will be judged. And that is why we should continue to trust and love God. Even though they are shocked that you do not run with them into the same extreme wickedness. Because we know that these sins will be judged. Let me give you the last point. Believers will be vindicated. If you think that because the sinners will be judged, and that cannot encourage you. So do you want to be judged with sinners? No, not of course. And that is the reason you were saved, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There won't be condemnation. Even if you have sinned, now if you repent, you are free. You see? So if that is not enough, that sinners will be judged, well, you will be vindicated as a Christian. You will be vindicated for this, but they will have to give account to him who is ready. They will have account. They will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they will face severe judgment. They will face it. They will be sent to hell, and you will be crowned. And here the verse 6, actually, that is a very difficult verse that I mentioned earlier, because the Bible says, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead. That is good. You see, the Bible was preached, the gospel was preached to those even now, when he was writing this, there were Christians who were put to death by the Gentiles, by those who persecuted them. But the gospel was preached to them. And then when they are raised, they will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So, yeah, please, can you take care of that? Sorry, I should have turned it off. Yeah. So these Gentiles, we will be vindicated, and even our brothers who were murdered, they will be judged according to men, which means they will be judged according to what they have heard. They have believed the gospel. That is why, that is what he's saying. So that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, how they lived. You see, in their union with Christ. That was the first verse, isn't it? When they say, because Jesus died, and he died our death in our union with him. And so we will be raised. We will not live any longer for sin, isn't it? And that is, even those who are dead now, when they come, they will be asked how they responded to the message. And so the believers, they will be vindicated, and because they will be judged, but live according to God in regard to their spirit. You see, they will live now after that as believers at the second coming of Christ. And this should be very encouraging to us, that the sinners, the sinners will be judged, and we ourselves will be vindicated. We will be praised by God. And that is why we are to press on trusting in our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and not wanting to indulge ourselves in the ways of this world, but rather to live for him who died for us, so that we may not live any longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again. Yeah. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, because he is the Lord of the living and of the dead. Yeah, in case you don't, can I deal with it? Thank you. Okay, thank you. This is the technology, isn't it? I wish we should live in times where we don't have mobile and the only person we talk to is Jesus Christ. that was what happening in the past, leading up to 2000s. Remember this. We are to live for God because, firstly, what did I say? If we are to rehearse them, and then I finished. Why? Because the time we spend in sin was enough, isn't it? Doing the wrong things. Secondly, because sinners, they will be what? They will be judged and should be encouraging to you. And thirdly, believers will be vindicated. You will live, you will be judged according to your spirit, to how you have lived your life, to how you have followed Christ, and how you have loved him, and how you have champion the cause of the gospel, and how you have related to your brothers and sisters, how you have respected them, how you have loved them, how you have served them, how you have prayed for them, and how you have risked your life sacrificing it for their sake, and how you held Christ in your heart high and think of him as the only Son of God, your Redeemer, your Savior, your Shepherd. This is the one who is controlling your life, the one who is the master under whom you live and you follow, the only words you have in your life, in your mind. Because we live in very sophisticated societies. They tell us we are something, but in fact we are nothing if we are not living for Christ. How about that? Go, be encouraged and be strong in living for Christ, because you will be tempted to join. Even as they heaps like insults on you, how many insults have you received in the past? Certainly I have received thousands, even from false brothers and sisters, those who are seeking their own self and self-centered and self-interest, those who are promoting themselves. They think if you don't promote yourself, maybe there's something wrong with you and you don't understand what is happening. But because of this, because I had enough and God had enough, and then he had shown mercy, isn't it? Mercy, mercy. It's out of God's mercy that you are sitting here today. Hallelujah. It's God's mercy that you are beautified and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's out of his grace and grace alone. It is out of his love. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We pray that we might be encouraged to sit and follow you. And Lord, and to really look carefully into our lives, how we are living it, and for whom we are living, Lord God. Lord God, please help us. Help us to be strong and courageous, to follow you, Lord. We thank you for stories in the Bible, for those who were bold enough to say, we will follow the Lord. Joshua saying, I and my household, we will serve the Lord. And Caleb and Joshua, even themselves, they said they were able to go forth with God and is trusting him.